Welcome to Our Noble Challenge. Pastor Eric Koonin now leads us in the study of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his ministry partner, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one who correctly divides the word of truth." Today we invite you to join us in your copy of the Scriptures as we examine together the Word of God under the direction of Pastor Koonin.
Well, we are on a two-message journey on offended. Last week we shared with you from a different perspective that often the gospel of Jesus Christ is an offense to people. Actually, the person of Jesus Christ himself is an offense to a lot of people. We know he's not politically correct any longer, so many are trying to take the name of Jesus Christ from the public sector. We find it's fine for so many people to use it as a curse word, to drive it in the ground, but for many people, Jesus Christ is an offense. So when you try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people and people do not receive it, don't be surprised. He's an offense to so many. But that doesn't mean we stop from telling people the good news of Jesus Christ. We continue to tell people, though they may find it a stumbling block and an offense, we believe we need to continue to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to kind of shift gears to take it to another personal level this morning, though. I think we live in a time when a lot of people are offended. We're offended personally. We're offended in the church. We find offenses seem to be second nature for a lot of people. Let's start off this morning about the area of the problem of personal offenses. Let's discuss inappropriate Christian behavior and responses, and let's particularly talk about responses. I think we live in a time when it's easy to walk out on people. I think it's easy not only to walk out on people, but it's easy to walk out on churches, if you know what I mean. Can you imagine living in the early church and you get mad at someone? Where do you go to church at? Do you just not go anymore? But you paid such an enormous price in the early church. God got a hold of your heart. Let's think about it for a moment. God gets a hold of your heart in a remarkable way. Someone comes to you and gives you the gospel of Jesus Christ, even at the very cost of perhaps of being persecuted because they went and shared the gospel with you. This is the early church, remember? When you can be persecuted for your faith, not just somebody scolding you, not just somebody pointing a finger at you or mocking at you, but you could have been imprisoned or even put to death for giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the gospel is given to you, and God, in his own wonderful and unique way, saves you from your sins. You come to the conclusion in your life as you see yourself before God as a sinner, condemned, unclean. You see yourself in the mirror of your existence, and you heard this offensive message from this person who dared to give you the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you are saved by God's grace, you hear of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sin, you realize that you are a pitiful sinner, and your only hope is Jesus Christ. You see yourself and you come repentantly to the Lord Jesus. And you're so delighted that He died on the cross for your sins and He rose again. And so you get saved and you come into contact with other Christians. And they have this local church. Who are these people in this large city that have this local church? And you get together with them and they baptize you. You profess your faith before other Christians and people are delighted. And you take part in this church. But as you get involved in this church, someone doesn't treat you the way that you like. They don't like the way you're living. Or you say something and somebody corrects you and you take offense for it. Or perhaps in your family, all of a sudden, people are offended by your faith. People don't like what's happened in your life. You've changed. What a wonderful change has been wrought in my life since Jesus came into my heart. And so your life has been turned around for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're never the same. And so family members are mad at you because you don't want to do all of the things that they do. Your life has changed. Who is this Jesus that you're getting wrapped up in? What do? Have some kind of a cult leader or something telling you about this Jesus? You try to share the gospel with them. They're offended with you and they are ostracizing you. They are sending you away from them. They're offended by you. Well, let's rush into 2011. We come into 2011. And we say, well, if I find somebody says something to me and I don't like them, that's it. I find there's so many problems today in families, with friends, with churches, where people are offended. Do you find that to be true? It seems like we live in a day where I understand a lot of unsaved people being offended by things. But I have a real, real problem, and I'm sorry, but I really struggle with the concept of Christians being offended so much. I don't find it very biblical whatsoever. And so I find that it's appropriate, as we've discussed this two sermon series on offenses, that we come to the personal area. It's just kind of a rampant area today. You know, I'm mad at my father and my mother. I'm mad at my sister or brother. I'm mad at my children because they said this and I don't like what they said. I'm mad at my good friend from years because they said something I didn't like. They did something I didn't like, so I'm really mad at them, and I'm not talking to them anymore. I'm mad at the person in the church, so I'm not going to talk to them anymore. So I'm going to sit on the other side. I don't like this person because they're offensive. And on it goes. You know what I'm saying? It's all of these offenses that seem to build up all the time. And it's kind of like a contagious disease. It seems like it's everywhere. If you're not upset with someone today, believe me, someone's upset with you today. You know what my line is, right? You've heard my line before. If somebody's upset with me, I just tell them to get in line. See, I got a whole line of people that are upset with me. You just get in the back of the line with the rest of them. We'll eventually get it back. But I always want to take care of it. You know, if I offend somebody, I really want to take care of it. Perhaps I need to offer them an apology. Perhaps they mistakenly took something I said wrongly. And I want to take care of it. If it's for ministering the truth of the Word of God, there's nothing that I can do about that. I realize I've also offended people with that. But if I have offended someone, I really would like to take care of that. And so let's say that right from the get-go. I would like to take care of that. If I've been an offense to someone, let me personally come to you. Tell me, Pastor, I have somehow offended you along the journey, and you owe me an apology. I will say, sure, tell me what I've done, and I will be glad to apologize for whatever perhaps offense that I had in my life towards you. I don't want to be an offense to someone. I want people to grow in the things of Jesus Christ. I want them to be in a place where they find the Word of God listenable. I want the love of Christ to be shed abroad in our midst. I want us to function in harmony. But sometimes there's not a lot you can do about it. I understand that. But I want you to understand that for us to run around being offended by people, and I don't think that I'm offended by any of you. I may not always appreciate everything everybody always does all the time. But I realize that sometimes a local church is a little bit like a hospital, and I've shared that with you before, and this analogy is an original with me. I don't know how many other people have used it. But sometimes people are a little bit ill, and they need to get feeling a little bit better, and we want the Word of God, and I'm not talking about physical health, I'm talking about spiritual health, and we want people to get feeling better. And so sometimes I let it, you know, somebody jabs me a little hard or something. It's okay. I don't mind it. And I don't hold it against anybody. We work one with another in the love of Christ. We come together and we're patient and long-suffering. And that's how we function. So there are conflicts inside and outside the church. Which one are you dealing with today? How many people are upset with you? Let's try to make our list a little less long. And in my little joke, I hope my line gets a lot less. And sometimes I don't even know where the line ends and begins because sometimes I don't know if I offend people or not. But we want to make things a little better. We really do. But you see, it's not just the modern church. Notice real quickly in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Got to take you to the Word this morning, folks. I was telling the folks down the street earlier this week that I'm a delivery boy. So I got to keep delivering the message. That's what I'm here to do. I got to take you to the Word of God. My message isn't original. I've got to take it to you. The message is God's Word. I'm just trying to not to get in the way. Paul's upset in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he's talking to other Christians. He says, brethren, since I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual. He says, you're fleshly. The word is carnal, he uses. Even as unto babes in Christ, he says, I fed you with milk, not with solid food. For this time you weren't able to hear it, neither yet now are you able. You weren't able to bear it, you still can't seem to be able to bear it. He says this, for ye are yet carnal. You're in the flesh. You notice what happens here in the flesh. For whereas there is among you envying, in strife, a lot of times you'll find out that offenses deal with the flesh. We envy things. We become upset about things. There's strife. It always breeds strife. What is strife anyways? It's when we don't get along. It's when we argue. It's when we don't see the other side of something else. When we're upset with someone else and we have strife. There's this tension in our life where we're upset with each other. And it's upsetting to us, isn't it? Do you ever feel really upset by all of these things? I do. He says there's envy and strife and divisions. He says, aren't you carnal? Aren't you in the flesh? And walk like men do? And then later on in this chapter, he goes and talks about how they're having so many divisions. Listen, folks. Back even in the church of Corinth, you remember what the church of Corinth was like? They were always at odds with each other. They were called the carnal church. They were called the fleshly church. They were always having a struggle with divisions, and that's how it played out the most. The divisions that they had in the midst of them, they were always having the problem of being divided. Oh, I'm of Paul. I'm of Peter. Oh, I'm of someone else. I'm of Apollos. And there's always someone that we're having a struggle with, a division with, we're having a problem with. Paul comes and he says, with all of his authority, he says, I am the apostle of Jesus Christ. He says, you got to stop. You got to stop it. So I want you to know from the get-go that offenses, problems, strife even happened in the early church. They just didn't have another church to go to. I want to tell you what the flesh looks like. Maybe it'll help us on this journey. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. I got to tell you about it, folks. You got to understand. I want you to hear. You know, we, like I said, if you're not offended by someone this morning, believe me, someone's offended by you. It's just the case. That's life in our modern day. There's always somebody offended. There's always someone upset. We want to make our list short. We want to make things right. We want to somehow do things for the love of God in Christ Jesus to somehow be reconcilers. How are we going to do that? Well, we got to understand the problem. The problem, in essence, is always sin, isn't it? It's always sin. And we can't always say, well, I'm waiting for that other person. Because we can't always change the heart of somebody else. But there's something you can do about your life, isn't there? Is God going to deal with your heart? Is He dealing with you today? I want God to deal with your heart today. I want Him to deal with mine. I don't want you to live a life of grudges and anger and upset and bitterness all of your life. Are you feeling kind of bitter today? Man. Whew. You know, sometimes people can become, listen, they can become so bitter that it actually changes their look. It ages them. It wears them out. It wears them out in such a way that it exhausts them. It almost seems like, and we understand that God numbers our days, but it almost seems like it brings about even premature death. Because of bitterness and agonizing over offenses in their life, day by day in their life. Come on, folks. Come on, we don't want to live that way. That's not how God called us to be. Well, look what the flesh looks like. In Galatians 5, verse 17, it says, "The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other." They don't get along, do they? They don't get along. We don't put them in the same pot together. They don't mix. So you cannot do the things that you would, obviously. He says, if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. What do the works of the flesh look like? How do you dress them up? What do they look like in the mirror of our existence? Well, here are some that we're not going to spend time with to start out with. There's adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness. Well, that sure is. And there's things like idolatry, and things like sorcery, witchcraft, this kind of occultish behavior. But then I want you to really, really pay attention to the next few here. And tell me in your heart and your mind if this isn't how the flesh displays itself with offenses. These are the things that wear you out in life. These are the things that keep you awake at night. And it's not the boogeyman. It's the boogeyman of offense. These are the things that bother you. They grind at your heart. They dismay you in your life. It makes you sad, it makes you upset, it makes you angry, it makes you vengeful. These are the things that you chase after. It says hatred. Oh, wow. Hatred. Don't hate people because somebody zinged you one. Don't hate people because it gave you a look. Don't hate people because it did you a bad turn somewhere along the line. You might not appreciate it, but don't hate them. Then this word variance is the word strife. Strife again is part of it. You know, you're going at each other. I don't like you. Well, I don't like you either. You stink. You're a jerk. You heard what he called me? You heard what he called me? How dare he? Who does he think he is? Offenses. Offenses. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Oh. You know, sometimes we relegate, we put these kind of things on kids, you know what I mean? This is playground action. But it's amazing, don't you think, you adults out there, what we say to other adults? Sometimes we're a little more sneaky. Sometimes not sneaky at all. Well, there are things like emulations, which are like jealousy, envies. There's wrath. Oh, boy. There's strife or factions going on. There's seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. But I wanted you to understand something. These words in particular, the tension of the flesh of not getting along with other people. And it says that they who do such thing at the end of verse 21 shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See that? If the practice of lifestyles of this nature, remember, again, this is what the Word of God says. This is not easy for me. But people who practice these kind of things day by day in their life, they don't evidence that they have life in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. These are things that come out of our flesh sometimes, though. That comes out of the flesh of a Christian sometimes. The offenses of life breed strife. And sometimes even in local churches where there are divisions. You can understand, and I'm very cautious when I say this, you can understand when I say that I believe it's ungodly for churches to divide. I don't think that should be. I think there should be reconciliations unless there's such heresy in a church that there's nothing else that you can do but to get out. But when churches say, you know, we're divided, you know, and we're all going to go over here and this other side's going to go over there, be careful. So the results are anger, unforgiving, and division, both personally and in churches. And I want you to understand that. It's a problem today, don't you agree? It's something that strikes every one of us. All of us have offended people. Listen to me. If you don't think you've ever offended somebody, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. Every one of us have been an offense to someone, and the primary one that we've offended is Jesus Christ. You say, oh, I've never offended Jesus Christ. I've always loved Him. Listen to me. Because we're sinners, and many of us have been saved by grace. Listen to me. Because the Bible says we're rebels, we're at enmity with God. Before we knew Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were an offense to Him. All of our sins in His pure eyes, we were an offense to Him. And that's why we came before God as broken sinners, saying, just as I am, without one plea, take me, O Lord. We were an offense to Him. So for you and I to rise up and say, I've never offended anyone, you're wrong. And we've probably offended a number of people along the journey. And surely, all of us at one point or the other have felt an offense in our lives of some sort. And we had to deal with it. And first, maybe it tasted terrible in our mouth. And maybe we had a desire to have vengeance. Or maybe we want to go get them somehow. Or maybe somehow, some way, we're going to strike back verbally or physically. Or we're going to show them. Or maybe we had bitterness. Listen, folks, how can we turn it around? Is this God's calling for our life? Is this what God wants in our life? It's our second point today, second last point. I want to talk about love and the work of the Spirit. Notice in verse 22 of this same passage, I want you to contrast the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit, which is in contrast, which is just, remember, they don't mix together. We can't put them in the same pot. The works of flesh and the Spirit. So he says this, Paul, the fruit of the Spirit, it's all one, by the way. We don't pick and choose. It's all one fruit. It's not a lot of fruits. We go to the tree and, let's see, I want one of those, but don't want, it's, listen, it's all the same fruit. Either you got it or you don't. And you notice what's the first one? It's love. Well, hey, you know, it's a little hard to be have the fruit of the Spirit when you got to deal with some of the people I got to deal with, right? Oh, boy. You are, in essence, saying, I refuse to allow the Spirit of God to control my life because I prefer the bitterness and the anger that I carry, and I would rather be in the flesh than to be in the Spirit. We can't live that way. That's not how we function in this life, in this existence. Before the living God, we say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I follow in your train. I'm going to follow you, Lord. Whatever you say, wherever you go, I surrender all. I surrender all. You're my Lord, my Master, and my Savior. I'm your servant, but I'm not going to give this up. Really? See, that's how the heart battles, you know? I think we've all had at least a twinge of that in our life, every one of us, including myself, I'm ashamed to say. That doesn't mean you appreciate everything people do in your life, you know what I mean? But that doesn't mean you carry the root of bitterness in your life. Well, we notice you have the fruit of the Spirit. You got joy and peace. And I want you to notice, too, some of these things and remember them. You only got to remember for a couple of minutes because we got to wind down here. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Boy, it's really hard when you're offended to have long-suffering, don't you think, and peace and joy. Don't you think it's really hard to be gentle and have goodness and faith when you're really upset, don't you think? By the time you get down to verse 25, it says, we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let it not just be words that come out of us, but let it also be the practice of the works of our life. Let it be evident. In other words, you don't say, well, okay, I won't be bitter anymore. I just won't talk to him anymore. Whoa. It's not how it works. The fruit of the Spirit permeates your whole life and existence. It flows all the way through you. It comes out of your life. It's not just saying, okay, I won't do this, but I'm not going to talk to him. Listen. It comes by your works too. Well, what does love look like? I kind of want to focus on that and then close up shop. We're talking about the Spirit working through our life, and the Spirit, what comes out of our life, is this love. And, you know, it's not just, you know, I'm going to go over to this person I'm really having a problem with. I'm going to say, I love you, but I don't really mean it. Right? I love you. And you turn around and say, oh. Now I got to go take a shower. Sometimes that's how we are. We think if we do something, you know, God's got to change our heart inside out. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And so we come to them. And even though they may be out to get you and all the rest, what can I do? You know? What can I do? Well, here's what love looks like in 1 Corinthians 13. It just fits so well with this subject. I had to go here. Here's what love looks like, folks. Verse 4. Whoa, it suffers long. Hey, wasn't that part of the fruit of the Spirit, long suffering? Remember that? It is long and patience. It's patient with people. You don't know this person. Kunin, if you knew this person, you wouldn't be patient with them either. But I know we got to deal with a lot. I know. It's just unbelievable sometimes. This is really right where you live. This is, you know, right down to the nitty-gritty of your life. You know what I mean? Right there. How am I going to suffer long and be patient with this person? It says that's what love does, you know? If you're not going to live in offense, you're going to have to suffer long. You need God's grace. You need His help. You can't do it on your own. It's the Spirit's going to have to work in your life. I know it. I know it. I'll tell you one thing that you want to know how it struggles I have with over the years. I can take a lot of personal offenses in my life. But you know what happens sometimes? You know the ones that really bother you the most? I'm going to tell you. Number one, the ones they deal with your family. And number two, for me, it's when people have purposely hurt the church. That bothers me a lot because I feel like they've also hurt the Lord. And so I have a hard time with that. And so when that happens sometimes, those are the things I personally struggle with. And I need a lot of the work of the Spirit to come through my life so that the love of God might shine through, because it's a struggle for me. Because you've hurt God's people. You did it on purpose. And so how do I reconcile? It's a struggle sometimes. Well, real quickly here. It's kind. It's kind. By the way, I want you to see this first one just a little closer. I'm sorry. Look at Acts 7:60, just real fast. I'm sorry. It's Stephen's being stoned to death, okay? All right? And if anybody's ready to say, hey, I'm going to get you guys. I'm going to come back. I'm going to, you know, boy, you guys can't do that to me, you know? And right? This is how Stephen died. He kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Well, now that's suffering long. We said this, he fell asleep. I think the terminology there is such that he actually did fall asleep and died. And God was gracious in that way. Well, so love is kind, it's gracious, love envieth not. Love doesn't need to desire what other people have and to get into tension with them. Love envieth not. It doesn't have, or excuse me, we just said that. Love vaunteth not itself. It doesn't brag. It isn't boastful. It doesn't have to put itself first. It's not puffed up. It doesn't have to be proud and lifted up. It doesn't have to be arrogant. And I want you to notice real quickly verse 5. And we'll bring this to a close. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. In other words, it's not rude. Boy, does that help in not offending people. But once in a while, we get rude. Some key ideas of forgiveness that I don't have time to deal with this morning. It seeketh not its own, right? Doesn't seek its own. You don't have to have your own way. In this old world where everybody thinks they have to have their own way, you don't have to. It's not easily provoked. You're not easily upset. You're not easily angry. You're not easily offended. And thinketh no evil. We don't don't have to carry a list of all the things that we think should offend us, folks. Okay. Does love and the fruit of the Spirit leave much room? I got to ask you this, for bitterness towards others. What's the road to victory then? It's the Spirit of God allowing Him to work in our heart, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen now, you want to know if you've slept through the whole sermon, let's come to the conclusion now. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so the fruit of the Spirit will work in and through your life. So that the love of God in Christ Jesus, who loves you so much that He died on the cross for your sins and forgave an evil, wicked person like you and myself so much that He could even provide a home in glory for all who believe. Can we have that kind of love for others? Can we forgive others even to that point? Can we suffer long with people? Can we not live in bitterness and anger? There's a paragraph in our church covenant. You got a hymn book this morning? You got a hymn book this morning? Right at the beginning of our hymn book, okay, you may find, I hope, if they haven't got ripped out somewhere along the way, I didn't check them all this week, there's a church covenant. A church covenant. Did you find it? If you did, go down to paragraph 4. Would you read it with me? Would you read it with me this morning? Would you stand with me and then we'll have a word of prayer? Stand with me, please. Read the fourth paragraph with me of the church covenant. This is what it says. We pledge to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness, distress, and material need, to demonstrate Christian kindness in words and actions, to be what? Slow to take offense, and to always strive to restore fellowship through humble reconciliation following biblical guidelines. May it be so. Oh, Father, now as we close this morning, may truly the Spirit awaken our hearts afresh to this particular truth, that we might be quick to reconcile with each other. Might we, O Lord, ask Your forgiveness for the root of bitterness and anger in our lives when we're unforgiving. May we take care of these matters even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remain standing. We'll have a closing hymn. My song leaders are either out doing children's church or on the road today, so I'm going to do the closing hymn. Great old hymn, hymn 328. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Do you remember this old song?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Our Noble Challenge. Our Noble Challenge is a production of Berean Baptist Church. Pastor Eric Coonan and the congregation of Berean invite you to join us when you can for a service of worship at 10:30 Sunday mornings. If you're interested in the Sunday school hour, you may show up at 9:30. We are located at 12985 Tollgate Road, Pickerington, Ohio, 43147. You can also reach our office by phone at 837-5204. Or join us on the web at BereanBaptistChurch.com. Berean spelled B-E-R-E-A-N, BaptistChurch.com. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.